And therefore, I do not wish to debate it further. Whatever we do here, we've already given our seminarist the privilege of doing it.
Brother President.
The chair had recognized the chairman.
One minute. I want to say just a word at this point. First of all, our seminaries need more money. These seminary presidents can bear witness to that. The second is added to the income of the seminaries from the cooperative program means a dollar less which can be allocated to missions. This is simply an effort to encourage the seminaries to take the initiative in providing more of the funds essential to their own operation.
Yes, Brother President, since the seminaries have the authority, it was my conviction they didn't need the directive, and I don't believe we have any better missions than that of training our ministers. I think that is simply mission.
Westmoreland from Kansas.
Chair recognized Brother Westmoreland from Kansas.
It's been my privilege to serve in a mission area of our country for nearly 20 years. A part of the reason for the progress that God has enabled us to make has been that we've had an adequate supply of well-trained young preachers. I'm of the conviction that young men coming out of our seminaries will return more in cooperative program funds than this will ever cost. I furthermore would like to say that we are about, I fear, to come to the point of reaching a shortcut to a shortage in ministers. A few weeks ago, I had a letter from a feminine reporter in our state who said, "Sir, I'm inquiring about the shortage of ministers among the major denominations of our country." I said, "Lady, we do not have such among Southern Baptists, and with 10,000 young preachers in training, I believe that the future looks good for our work as we move into the program of the 30,000 movement." I believe with all my heart, dear friends, that these areas into which we are to move must have these men, and we're in danger of cutting the supply if we cause these men to have to sign an oath of penury in order to obtain help.
Question is upon the amendment to recommendation 13. Those in favor of the amendment will say aye. Opposed, no.
No.
The noes have it. The question reverts upon recommendation 13 itself. Those in favor of the amendment, or the recommendation rather, recommendation number 13, will say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no.
No.
The noes have it. The recommendation is not agreed to.
Mrs. Horace Hammett, wife of the associate State Secretary in South Carolina, will bring the two recommendations relating to the Carver School. Mrs. Hammett.
Right. Mr. President, members of the convention, I bring to you recommendation 14. The Carver School of Missions and Social Work should be continued as a separate institution of the convention. Then recommendation 15, Carver School of Missions and Social Work should include in its annual report to the convention during the next 5 years a special report concerning the progress made toward accreditation. Mr. President, I move you, sir, the adoption of these two recommendations.
I second the motion, Mr. President.
You've heard the motion and the second. Is there any discussion? The chair recognizes Brother Howard.
Mr. President, friends of the convention, a distinguished Baptist layman of Park City's church, which I serve as pastor in Dallas, Texas, has requested that because of the impossibility of his presence here today, that I bring you a minority report, which I should like to read as briefly as possible. and then make a motion as a substitute for the motion brought by the Survey Committee. At the meeting of the Survey Committee in Nashville on December 18, 1958, when the matter of the future status of the Carver School of Missions was being considered, this man offered the following substitute motion: that in view of the many problems involved in the operation of Carver School, and also the general policy that all Christian education except theological education is the responsibility of the several states, that we recommend to the convention that the Carver School be closed or merged with Southern Seminary on or before the close of the school year 1959-60. This substitute motion was adopted by a majority report of the committee. Later, and before the adjournment of the Nashville meeting of the Survey Committee, a motion was made and carried that this subject be reconsidered at the meeting of the Survey Committee that was scheduled to be held in Memphis on February 5th. The proponents for the continuation of the Carver School contend that it should be given a chance to justify its existence. What does it hope to do in order to justify its existence? At the present time, the school shows enrollment of 57 students. The appropriation from the cooperative program receipts for the next convention year will be $150,000. In addition to this, the income from the school's endowment and other miscellaneous income will be approximately $50,000, making the total cost for operation of the school approximately $200,000. A brief summary of the history of this school is stated as follows. It was originally organized and operated for many years by the Woman's Missionary Union. By agreement between the WMU and the Southern Baptist Convention, the school became an agency of the convention in 1958. The school is not accredited by any recognized accrediting agency, and unless it becomes a part of some recognized college, seminary, or university, it cannot anticipate receiving accreditation. It would be proper to raise the question as to whether or not the Southern Baptist Convention should undertake to support or maintain any school other than the seminaries, and if any or all of the courses that are now being taught in the Carver School and courses that should be continued, then would it not be a better plan to merge the Carver School with the Southern Seminary, which is located on the same campus, and have these courses offered by the seminary at a cost to the seminary that would be nominal as compared to the present high per capita cost of operating of the Carver School? This was done, and I will pass this part of the report in the interest of brevity. This was done in the instance of the Southwestern School in Fort Worth a number of years ago, and documentation for the fact and procedures are outlined here in the report. The question was asked of Dr. J.M. Price, and he answered in toto. If this same procedure of merger should be adopted with reference to the Carver School, the Southern Baptist Seminary, the Southern Seminary at Louisville could take over the work that is being done by the Carver School and probably not add more than $25,000 to its total cost of administration. This estimate is made on the basis that the school seeks to have one faculty member for each 20 students. And since the Carver School has 57 students, three additional faculty members should cover the additional teaching load at the seminary. One of the arguments that has been made for continuing the Carver School is that there was an expressed or implied agreement between the committee representing the convention and the committee of the Woman's Missionary Union that the convention would continue to operate the school as an independent agency. There is nothing in the record to support this argument. It was asked of one of the members of the committee the specific question as to whether or not there was any agreement expressed or implied on this point, and this committee member replied as follows: therefore, in answer to your question, no obligation was assumed to continue to operate the school for any specific period of time, as I recall. As further evidence of the fact that there was no such agreement, I quote from the written agreement that was made between the WMU and the Southern Baptist Foundation with respect to transfer of the foundation to the foundation of the funds owned by the Carver School. The first paragraph of this agreement reads as follows: each of said trusts shall be conclusively deemed to be for the use and benefit of the Carver School of Missions and Social Work, which is at present in operation in Louisville, Kentucky, and for the use and benefit of any institution doing like work into which the said Carver School of Missions and Social Work may hereafter be merged, or with which it may hereafter be consolidated, including any institution doing the same work
controlled by the Southern Baptist Convention, which may hereafter become the legal successor of the said Carver School of Missions and Social Work, whether by change of name, merger, consolidation, legal succession, or otherwise, and wheresoever the same may hereafter be located. The above provision of the written agreement is a conclusive answer that there was not any agreement to continue the operation of the Carver School as a separate institution. It is my conclusion, therefore, that if the teaching of the courses at the Carver School should be continued at all, that all such teaching should be transferred to the Southern Baptist Theological Seminary through a merger of these two institutions, both with respect to the physical assets and including its endowment. Now, Mr. Chairman, in view of the obvious economies and understanding that there are certain technical details that must be worked out, I would like to make this motion that the president of this convention appoint a proper committee to bring recommendation to our next annual convention effecting the economies of a merger between the Carver School of Mission and Social Work and Southern Baptist Theological Seminary here in Louisville. I make that as a motion.
Brother Howard offers this as a substitute amendment in the form of a motion for that purpose. Chair, that can be heard. You want to speak to it now?
In seconding this motion, this makes sense to me that we think more seriously before we consider the majority report on this. For here are some very, very sobering statistics and figures for us. The Carver School of Missions and Social Work requires a budget of $150,000 from this convention for next year's operation. They anticipate 77 students next year. That's more than they have this year. They're expecting an expansion, 77 students. That's $2,000 per year to educate and train from our resources here, in addition to the other resources that they must derive from their endowment. Now, the purpose of this training is thus, as set forth as it was presented to your convention here, train social workers and specialists such as in the field of literary education, in the field of phonetics, in the field of anthropology, teaching English and foreign languages, and so forth. Now, the question comes up, these two recommendations are strangely related, the one we voted on a moment ago in which you expressed yourself so strongly when we were asked to raise the tuition of 5,000 students in six theological seminaries in order to release money for missions and so forth, in order to cut down the demands on this convention here. We were asked to have 5,000 students raise their tuition, raise their fees, and pay more for their education. Now we're coming along and saying that for 77 students, we're going to appropriate $150,000 in order to maintain an institution that does not serve a distinctive function that could not be served within the framework of any one of our seminaries. Now, within the framework of our seminaries, every one of these specialized courses could be given. You could cut out all the administrative expense of a separate institution. There could be some correlation and some merging there, and we could accomplish a great saving and a great economy. And furthermore, we could give accredited standing to every one of the graduates, which they cannot receive now under a separate institutional standing. Therefore, I urge that you seriously consider what's involved here, both economy and accreditation, and good judgment would say that we can take a courageous step forward. Now, I know some of the pressures that are on us. I know some of the pressures that must have come when this committee boldly acted the first time as they looked at it realistically and said, we have but one course, and they took that action, and then came the pressures there saying, you can't do away with a beloved institution that has meant so much to us. Well, we're not doing away with it. We're going to expand it. We're going to incorporate it into a great program with seminary standing and accreditation and giving the full resources of the seminary itself to this program. Now, if today I were to offer you from an unknown donor an endowment of $2 million, if you would merge these two institutions, $2 million endowment, I think we'd get a great response. For you see, $2 million is more than the endowment of four of our seminaries put together. $2 million is slightly less than Southwestern's endowment, slightly less than Southern's endowment. And yet the $150,000 is the liberal income off of a $2 million endowment. So let's use some judgment here as we consider this. I ask you to consider the minority report and vote favorably.
Chair recognizes Herschel Hobbs.
Brother President and members of the convention, I think it is very important that at this time we pause a moment and remember what we did 2 years ago. It just happens that as a member of the Committee on Theological Education that spent about 5 years studying our overall theological program, I was asked to serve as chairman of a subcommittee to deal with the matter of the Carver's School of Missions and Social Work. When we began that study, I do not believe there was a member of our committee but that felt that the school should be closed. But the reason for that was we simply had not studied the matter. We did not know exactly what was involved. After a 2-hour-and-a-half conference with Dr. Lansdell, then the president, Dr. Hudgens, who was chairman of our overall committee, and I came away from that meeting with her convinced that there is a place for the Carver School of Missions and Social Work, that we have a need in our society and in our denominational work for the kind of training that that school proposes to give. Now, we all recognized that the Women's Missionary Union would be unable to give the amount of support financially to realize the dream that they had had for many years. And so our committee agreed to recommend to the convention a program whereby the Carver School would be transferred to the Southern Baptist Convention, that we would elect the trustees, one half of which could be suggested by, not nominated, but suggested by Women's Missionary Union. The understanding that was made with that group, with Women's Missionary Union, was that we were not taking over that school just to close it. We were taking it over to give it a board of trustees, a proper administration that could do the job. And Dr. Lansdell, may I hasten to say, told us, a woman cannot head this school and do what we want to do. I want to get out and let you get a competent man as president. And so when the matter was brought to the convention 2 years ago, the convention was told, if you act to adopt this recommendation, that we take it over. We want you to know that it is with the understanding with the Women's Missionary Union that we are not taking over this school to close it. We are taking it over to strengthen it, to give it a board of trustees that will be sympathetic with it and its work, to give them an opportunity to realize the dream that the Women's Missionary Union has had and still has. Now then, we said, neither are we taking it over with the idea that forever and a day we must operate if it becomes evident that we do not need it. But we said it will be in the hands of its trustees, and it will be in the hands of its friends if there comes a time when the trustees of that institution, whom you have elected to look after its affairs, when it comes that they come and say that we believe it is time to close it or to move it or to merge it or whatever you want to do with it, then we said the convention can do so and not break its faith with Women's Missionary Union. If we do what is being proposed in this minority report today, then you go home and tell the women of your church, we broke faith with you. We made you a promise. We didn't keep it. And you go home and make that report, because that is exactly what we'll be doing. I wanted you to know, no matter how you vote, I wanted it on record that at this meeting, we were reminded that we voted in good faith to make an honest effort to develop this school into the kind of a school that they dream it can become. I do not believe they've had the time enough to do that. I believe that the trustees will be the first to recognize that. I believe that when they come with a recommendation that we merge it or move it, that we ought to do it. But until that time, we ought to give serious consideration before we vote the minority report that is brought here today.
Mr. Chairman.
The chair recognizes Douglas Hutchins.
Mr. Chairman. Over here on the right.
The chair had recognized
on your left.
Brother Hutchins. Does the brother desire to be heard on the motion?
Yes, sir.
Well, at the end of Brother Hudgens' comments, the chair will come back to you.
This is Wayne Oates from Kentucky. Yes.
Which one of us do you want to be? You. Mr. President, ladies and gentlemen, in spite of all emotions and business economies that sometimes seemingly direct our judgment, there is a more nearly basic and thoroughly Christian concept we must not forget. That is the concept of integrity, honesty, and fair play. I do not intend to repeat any of Dr. Hobbs's argument or speech. But, Brother President, I should like for it to be recorded by the secretary of this session of this convention that H.H. Hobbs of Oklahoma City and W.D. Hudgens of Jackson, Mississippi, for and on behalf of the Committee on Theological and Missionary Education of some years ago, whose recommendation brought about the transfer of the Carver School to the convention, want it understood here and now that we are of the opinion that any such action as the distinguished pastor from Dallas brought from one of his deacons who publicly had said he was going to file a minority report is a breach of faith and is not, in our judgment, playing fair with the committee, with our convention, with Women's Missionary Union, and surely we do not intend 2 years after an honest action openly agreed at to repudiate what we have entered in so to do. I would like then, Brother President, to have the secretary record that on behalf of our committee, Herschel Hobbs and I would like to register that statement.
Chair recognizes Brother Oates from Louisville.
Mr. Chairman, I'm a professor at the Baptist Seminary. We desperately need, among Southern Baptists, qualified, dedicated, accredited, and approved people who can function as social workers in our own institutions. We cannot farm this out to secular institutions any longer. There is not a place in Protestantism where Southern Baptists can get high-grade accredited social work education plus the dimensions of religious concern and commitment which the Carver School can give if properly supported and properly accredited. It is only a matter of time until federal inspection of institutions caring for sick, old people, and little children will have to measure up to professional standards for their care, as well as have a set of good intentions for doing so. And we must be ready for this time when we will measure the best professional education there is and transcend it with the commitment that dedicated Christians can bring to it. And as a professor at the Southern Baptist Seminary, I see a unique place for this kind of training, which is larger and higher and further than we as a seminary can possibly give it. Thank you very much, sir.
Chair recognizes Mrs. Mathis.
Mr. President and friends of this convention, I assure you that it frightens me literally to death to come before this microphone to speak on any matter. But I could not be true to Woman's Missionary Union and sit in my chair at the rear of the platform and not bring one or two things to your attention. First, I should like to express appreciation for the sentiments which have been expressed here in favor of the recommendation brought by the survey committee. I should like to point out to you that Woman's Missionary Union did not attach any strings to the gift of Carver School of Missions and Social Work when it was transferred to the Southern Baptist Convention in Kansas City in 1956. I should further like to point out to you that there was not a single negative vote in that convention when the transfer was made. Therefore, as president of Woman's Missionary Union, I feel that you accepted that gift in good faith, and I do not believe that anyone present could say in his heart or hers that a fair trial has been given to such a school in such a short time. I would like to say one other thing that brought us to the day when we gave Carver School of Missions and Social Work, which had had a long and wonderful history in the life of Woman's Missionary Union, to our convention. And it is our convention which holds today this trust. For many, many years, the women in the States had been sending in the money on which to operate Carver School of Missions and Social Work, formerly called the Training School. As most of you know, in our churches, in our states, and in the Southern Baptist Convention, it is a deep desire of our hearts to cooperate with our church programs. And we came to believe, as an executive board and as a union, that we could no longer promote the gifts other than through the cooperative program and the mission offerings which had been approved by our convention. And so we decided that we could no longer ask the women in the States for these gifts for the support of that school. And because of our deep desire to cooperate, to be members of our churches and of our convention, along with all of those who do not belong to Woman's Missionary Union, we came and brought our school, which you accepted. Now, if after a fair trial this convention decides that there is not a place for this school and that it is too expensive to operate, then we are members of this convention and we shall certainly go along with the majority and with whatever you decide to do. But we feel in our hearts that we should give more time to this effort. And under God, and under His leadership, and under the Board of Trustees elected by this convention, seek to to prove first to ourselves whether or not it is a safe investment.
Madam, Mrs. Hammond.
I, like Mrs. Matthews, would like to say I come to this microphone with fear and trembling because I have never spoken before a Southern Baptist Convention. But I must speak to you this evening, this afternoon, my feelings concerning this school. I sympathize with these who bring the minority report. I sympathize of those with you who feel the way as they do. Because when I became a member of the Board of Trustees in 1953, I too felt as these feel. But my dear friends, after these years on this Board of Trustees, and after serving on this special committee with Dr. Hobbs as a member for Women's Missionary Union, after being on this Board of Trustees when this survey has been made by these special consultants, and then most of all, after much prayer, I just wish you could know the real need that we know that there is for this school. I beg you as Southern Baptist to give it a try. Those who we know are in great opposition to us operate 6 such schools. Baptists have none. We do need trained workers in this field. I plead with you. I beg you to give it a try because I believe one thing, it will mean much to the kingdom work, and that's the only reason that I want it to exist, because I believe it will bring honor and glory to our Lord and to the kingdom work.
The chair has some difficulty about proceeding because of the fact that I've had requests from about 4 or 5 other members for time. Now, if the previous question is ordered...
I move the previous question, Brother President.
Previous question is ordered. Those in favor of the previous question will vote aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. The ayes have it. Previous question. Question is therefore upon the amendment offered by Brother Howard of Texas. Those favoring the motion, the amendment as offered by Brother Howard will say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no.
Aye.
The noes appear to have it. The noes have it. And the amendment is not agreed to. Question now is upon recommendation 13, as presented by Brother Long. Those in favor of recommendation number 13 will vote aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no.
No.
The chair is in doubt. We will put the question again. Those favoring...
Chairman, excuse me. The question is upon recommendation 14.
I'm sorry about the number. Yes.
As presented by Mrs. Hammett.
The question is upon number... We're now, yes, now thank you very much for giving me these correct numbers. Now the question is,
they're two together. Yes, sir. They've been combined. Yes, sir.
Question is upon 14 and 15, recommendations 14 and 15 as presented by Mrs. Hammett. Those in favor of recommendations 14 and 15 will say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Chair is in doubt again. Those favoring recommendations 14 and 15 as presented by Mrs. Hammett will say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no.
No.
Those in favor of the motion to adopt recommendation 14 and 15 will stand and remain standing until... Be seated, please. Those opposed will stand. The chair believes there's no question but that the motion has carried. The recommendations are adopted. Now, you'll recall that the vote a while ago was suspended because the tellers retired to make the count. Brother Joe Burton will report the result of the teller vote.
That vote was on amendment to recommendation 12, And the tellers report the following count. Voting yes for the amendment, 1,281. Voting no, opposed to the amendment, 1,345. The amendment fails.